Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now open session pursuant to recess.
Good morning, you may be seated. First case in our calendar is 08-401 in re TRTHAH and DH. Ms. Ingram.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Revised Code 2151.413E says that when an agency filing a motion for permanent custody under that section shall also supplement its motion for permanent custody with a plan, supplement its case plan with a plan outlining the agency's intended actions for finding a home for that child and the actions the agency intends to take to prepare that child for adoption. That statute does not say that supplement or addition to the case plan must be filed with the motion for permanent custody, nor does it say that it must be filed before the hearing. Based on a decision of the Second District Court of Appeals, Montgomery County Children's Services was not filing those plans detailing its intended actions concerning adoption when it filed the motion for permanent custody, and in fact was filing them after the award had been made, or in some cases after the magistrate had recommended the award be made.
Could I ask you a procedural question, Ms. Ingram?
Yes.
Adoption is venued in the probate court, am I correct? Juvenile court doesn't handle adoption.
I believe that's correct.
And the termination of parental rights is venued in the juvenile court.
That's correct.
So the statute says that you file the adoption plan in the juvenile court. Is that right?
In connection with the case plan.
What would be the utility of filing the adoption plan after the court terminated parental rights and concluded its work on the case?
And I don't think I was correct. I think if I may ask for the opportunity to come back to supplement my response with this,
because here's what I'm thinking. There's no final answers here. This is not double jeopardy.
Okay, because here's what I'm thinking. I also know that by statute, and I believe it's 417, but I'm not certain, that the court retains jurisdiction. The juvenile court does retain jurisdiction after the award of permanent custody is made to the agency pending the adoption. Now, I don't know where the adoption goes through, but I do know that the case reviews and the mandatory statutory proceedings that take place in the interval between an award of permanent custody and a later adoption all take place in juvenile court.
Well, the statute used to say that the juvenile court should take into consideration the adoption plan in deciding whether to terminate parental rights, but that's been eliminated
from
the statute.
That has been eliminated, Your Honor.
And in the same enactment that eliminated that, the General Assembly enacted a provision to require the filing. And I'm wondering what your sense of that is. Why would the General Assembly tell us,
Your Honor,
we don't want the trial court to consider it, but we want it to be filed?
Your Honor, was that at the same time that it was eliminated? Here's why I think it is. I think instead of putting the issue of the child's adoptability back in, what it does is emphasizes, I believe, and requires the agency to put on record at some point, we are committed to taking these actions to find an adopted family for this home. There's a huge and headache-inducing network of statutes and regulations that dictate what the agency must do after the award of permanent custody is made to ensure an adoption.
But the difficulty I'm having is that this requirement is that it's filed in the juvenile court and the adoption is handled in the probate court, and the juvenile court really doesn't have anything to do once it terminates parental rights. It's closing its file. Does it send that file to the probate court?
But that doesn't happen. The juvenile court retains jurisdiction, and there's mandatory reviews during the period of time before
pending the adoption.
The adoption proceeding, that's correct. And I And while the proceeding may take place, the juvenile court does retain jurisdiction in that interval before that. So what it does is it provides the regulations and the statutes dictate what the agency must do. I believe that the purpose of this particular subsection E is that it emphasizes that the agency's actions, the agency's efforts on behalf of the child don't end with the awarding permanent custody.
Did the agency ever file an adoptive plan in this case?
Yes, as is its practice after the award was made.
How long after?
That I don't know.
Okay, thank
you. This was part of the Safe Families Act that Ohio passed in conjunction with the federal act, wasn't it? And wasn't the purpose of the Safe Families Act to do concurrent planning so that you lessen the delay? Instead of waiting until everything was terminated, now you start an adoption plan. The whole purpose behind the act was to do them concurrently so that if the efforts at reunification failed, you were already on your way to a placement rather than now we're going to start the placement and have another whole delay. And so the purpose of the statute meets the Court of Appeals interpretation. It does not meet your interpretation or what your agency has been doing. So how do you reconcile that when that was the clear intent of the legislation?
I don't know that it was the clear intent of the legislation because the legislation doesn't say at this time. Additionally, because there is permanency planning and because there are yearly reviews, there is, in addition to this, a requirement that the agency be not just considering what it is doing right now with these kids in temporary custody, but also what are you doing to think past this?
Well, by requiring the filing of an adoption plan at the time of termination, it is the intent, isn't it? They ask you to have a plan ready when you terminate.
They ask you if you have a plan. I'm sorry, what did you?
They don't require you to look at the adoptability of the child anymore because that shouldn't be the factor. Every child can be adopted by somebody. There's some parent out there that's going to want that child. So you can understand why the legislature took that out. That was sort of a harsh provision.
Right.
But the requirement that you have an adoptive plan for that child when you terminate is part of the goal of shortening the adoption period and getting rid of the foster care drift instead of now we're going to go start an adoption plan.
I agree.
Your interpretation doesn't further that goal.
I understand what you're saying. My argument is based on the statute, and I also recognize that there is a regulation, which I've cited in my brief, that says it should be filed at the time. And I understand that. That's what the statute said, and even though I look at it differently, and there's policy reasons that you've cited for viewing it differently, that I'm not going to concede on that the statute itself doesn't require it. But the other part of my argument is that even if the agency should have been filing those supplements to the case plan that outlined the steps they intended to take and what they were going to do to prepare the child, that even if they that the agency's failure to do that doesn't require reversal in this case. The agency's...
I could understand that position. I mean, that seemed like a reach that you're going to reverse the termination, which seemed all appropriate on its face. It seemed to me all they had to do is require you to go back now and get that plan filed immediately.
In procedurally is an odd kind of situation because in 2002, the Second District essentially said, we're not going to require a detail. They cited a case that said we're not going to require that the adoption plan in subsection E be filed prior to the hearing. They said we don't require detailed. So that's what the agency was doing. That's how the cases were. It wasn't an issue until this case where counsel didn't raise it at the hearing. Had he raised this at the hearing, the court probably would have said, you know, based on the court's authority in Ray Muldrew, I'm going to overrule that. And counsel did raise it then on the objections, and the court overruled it for just that reason. So the agency in this case wasn't just flouting the rules. They had some authority to do that. When the brief was filed, the agency relied on the argument, you haven't given the court any reason to depart from its earlier reasoning in the Muldrew case, and the court of Appeals on its own kind of reexamined it and came out with this. Essentially, I'm sorry?
Ms. Ingram, I'm trying to look at the language of E and see where you're coming from, because you're saying you're looking at the statute, and it clearly says any agency that files the motion for permanent custody shall include in the case plan a specific plan of the actions to seek an adoptive family. As I understand your argument, are you saying that this is an ambiguous statute because it doesn't include the language at the time of filing, or it could be interpreted to mean that the case plan comes after the filing? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's ambiguous because it simply doesn't say when it needs to be filed, and I believe that if the General Assembly had intended for it to be at a particular point in time with the motion, or at least in front of the hearing, it would have said that.
Well, it says any agency that files a motion shall include a case plan. I mean, that's in the statute.
But any agency that files a motion is descriptive. It doesn't say at the time of filing. Throughout the statute, it refers to public children's service agencies and private child placement agencies. So when you come down to E and the statute says any agency that files, that's simply referring to the two agencies it's been talking about throughout.
As you know, the Court of Appeals and its rationale for its decision commented on the fact that it believed that a trial court in determining whether permanent custody should be granted or ordered, that it would be helpful to have the case plan because that's all a part of what's in the best interest of the child. There are some children who are very difficult to adopt. I don't know if that's this case here, but we've seen them. And then they say it's not logical to suggest the interpretation that you are urging us to adopt. What's your response to their rationale?
But that's putting adoptability right back in. It may be in a particular case under a particular set of facts that for some reason the child's likelihood of adoptability may be pertinent, and that can still come in. But to be in every case, and what the Court of Appeals said, I think, was that adoptability is directly related to the best interest of the child. And I believe that the amendments that we were talking about earlier took that out. Essentially, what this court did was say, because you didn't consider this case plan, because you didn't have it, this is invalid. On the other hand, the court also addressed the mother's weight of the evidence and said, we agree that it was within the court's discretion on the facts it had in front of it to find that the best interest of the children would be served by termination of parental rights. So it's inconsistent in the respect that they say it's null, you can't make this decision without this information. On the other hand, to say that the evidence showed that it was. Additionally, what the court's asking for is, the court's rationale, the second district's rationale was, we want information on the child's likelihood for adoption. That's not what subsection, the likelihood of the chances of the child's adoption, and that's not what subsection E would give the court. That section, if it were followed and if it were filed, would be, here's what the agency intends to do, and here's how the agency intends to prepare the child. And I will also say that even if this court absolutely 100% disagrees with me about my arguments about when that is to be filed under the statute, those concerns will be addressed by other statutes, regulations, state and federal, representatives of which are attached to the reply brief, so that it's not going to happen that this child will languish.
The administrative regulation requires the plan to be prepared, plan for adoption to be prepared and filed, I believe, at the time the motion for permanent custody is filed. Is that
You're
correct?
Right.
Is your interpretation that's more of an internal agency requirement, that because the agency is now filing for permanent custody, it needs to have in place a plan to make the best efforts to get the child adopted, but that's not really pertinent to the court's decision as to whether to grant permanent custody? It's more pertinent to the agency's readiness to find a permanent adoptive home for the child.
Well, certainly I believe it does, and by the court's decision in this case, what it's doing is kind of creating this right to have this this filed at the time, or at least before the hearing, that the mother is able to enforce to nullify an otherwise valid order of permanent custody where it's clearly in the best interest of the children that parental rights be terminated.
I guess I want to take you back to the statute, to E, because you're trying to separate, it seems to me, the adoption process from the determination of whether the child should be removed from the parents. The statute connects them, does it not? E, doesn't E? E says, as you heard, agency that files a motion for permanent custody under the section shall include in the case plan of the child. That's connecting the two in the same subsection of the statute, doesn't it?
It's connected. It doesn't explicitly say at the time. There are
I know
other
that,
sections.
But we have to apply a statute that right. is somewhat broad in its language, and what we're trying to do obviously here is determine what's the best application, the most honest application of what the General Assembly intended. And we don't have, you're right, we don't have a time. There's no temporal statement by the General Assembly. So we have to put it together and see what makes the most sense. And it seems to me when the statute includes both the permanency issue and the case plan issue, which goes to the adoption, it seems like a fair, rational conclusion to think that the two go together, that the case plan should be before the judge when the judge is determining, or the court, when a court is determining permanent custody.
Your Honor, may I briefly respond?
Sure, you may.
Even if this court doesn't agree with me about the timing, I'll rest on the arguments in my brief on that, it still doesn't answer the question of whether or not the agency's not filing that will invalidate an otherwise valid adoption when the cost is so great. It undoes and it holds back, it prevents those children from moving into an adoptive family.
Counsel, are you saying that the adoption or the termination is an otherwise valid adoption?
Is that what I said? I'm sorry. I meant an otherwise valid determination of permanent custody.
Okay. Termination of the mother's rights
That's
here
right.
is a separate consideration than where these children are going to go once those rights are terminated.
That's
and that's
right.
your argument. And the case plan is an ongoing document that is developed based on the developments of the case.
Correct.
And for the first portion of the agency's involvement with these children, once they're temporarily removed from the family, there is a duty for a reunification plan. Would you agree that they're at cross purposes if you're planning an adoption plan and a reunification plan simultaneously? Is that ever done?
To the extent that there's a permanency plan in place, then yes, long-term thinking, but a specific adoption plan, that's why the agency wasn't doing it, because how can they be in the position of, and in this case, the caseworkers were saying, you know, they were visiting the family up until the week before the hearing, and I think this court in a decision last year in Ray Saf quoted the social workers saying, until there's an order, there's always a chance of reunification.
And very difficult. Certainly the parent would have grounds if the agency not being genuine in its reunification plan, if alongside of that they're working on a permanency placement plan with another family.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a continuum of events taking place in this case, and that is reflected in the case plan. Exactly?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So oftentimes children are not, their rights are, the parental rights are terminated through the juvenile court, and there is the speculation that an adoption will be sought, or that's the intent. But oftentimes there's no identified family at that point, correct?
That's correct, but there is a network of statutes and regulations that require the agency to take certain actions with respect to every child. So that child is not going to languish even if there is no identified family at the time permanent custody is awarded to the agency.
So the case plan then, that if you would concede that there was necessary to have a case plan, a specific plan of the agency's actions to seek and adopt a family for the child, that's merely an intent to seek an adopted family. They're not requiring that adopted family be identified.
No.
or that there be connection or even an acquaintance with the adoptive family between that and the child. It's merely, we intend to place this child for adoption.
We intend, and here's what we're going to do. And when permanent custody is granted, then the regulations and statutes make those, we intend to do this, you are required to do this.
Are there any times when a child, the permanent custody is sought, and the intent is never to place that child with adoptive parents?
I don't know. I think not, because I think the philosophy is that every child is adoptable. So I think that is...
So it's logical that the reason we're terminating these parental rights is because it's in the best interest of the child to do so. And it goes without saying that we will try to place this child for adoption? Is that... the normal thought process that you
have encountered? It goes without saying, because it goes without saying, but it's said. It's said in the network. In a case like this where it hasn't been filed prior to the hearing, then it's not said. But if permanent custody is awarded to the agency, then the other requirements, statutory and regulatory requirements, kick in and dictate just exactly what they must do. The court retains jurisdiction over the case as well, which means that if the agency isn't doing what it's supposed to do, and reviews are scheduled so that the court can take actions to require the agency, if for some reason it's not doing what it should, to take those actions.
Thank you, Ms. Ingram.
Thank you.
Appellee has waived oral argument. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.